Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
B-Pod, the sports hub.
Zillack and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the sports hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from Warrior today. No Zo.
What do you mean, no Zo?
DNP.
What do you mean?
Illness. Zo out. I'm going to fulfill the role of Zoe today by wearing sunglasses in front of these very bright lights here at Warrior.
Yeah, it's like they're closer today.
Yeah, they're closer, right?
They're closer. I don't know. That, you know what? Good. They'll throw off some heat. We'll be able to...
Whatever we can generate, we'll
benefit
take
from that.
617-779-0985. You want to jump on board, do it. We're here at the Bruins practice rink today as they get ready for yet another game. And Hardy?
Yes.
They're hot right now.
Much hotter than I would have expected for a team that had to play as late as they did and suffered a Game 7 loss in the Stanley Cup Final. You know, you start making the excuses right away for a team like this. Stanley Cup hangover for the team that wins, maybe even a bigger one for the team that loses, or vice versa. Doesn't matter. You played that long. You played a couple weeks longer than at least two other teams and a hell of a lot longer than most other teams, and you also suffered that defeat in Game 7. It's just, it's a lot for a team to process. It's a lot for them to come back from. What are they going to do next year? What they're going to do is come out and play like one of the best teams in the NHL, which they are.
Right.
And they're going to get top line scoring from a line that failed them at times during the postseason. They're going to get outstanding play from not one, but two goaltenders in the process. And they're going to get quality play from their defensemen. It's not something that I would have expected. I would have expected almost the opposite from a team that ended the season the way they did. And maybe even more from a team that didn't do anything in the way of retooling in their very shortened off season.
They did nothing.
Nothing.
They really didn't do much at all. Well, I mean, you know, little minor deals and re-signing guys and re-upping guys.
Right.
Obviously things that have happened just in the last week with Wagner getting his deal done.
Do you mean to tell me that
Coyle getting his done?
Yeah, I know they went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, but they didn't have to play Tampa Bay. They didn't have to play the Capitals. You tell me you're going to do nothing with this team and get them back out onto the ice the next year and expect the same kind of success? Well, they've not only done it so far, but in many ways they've been better. David Pastrnak is having an outstanding season. You're getting quality play from Brad Marchand. Again, they've dealt with some injuries to Patrice Bergeron and some other key players, but for the most part, you're seeing David Krejci get involved in ways that we've wondered where he's been before.
A guy they didn't trade, and they could have.
Right.
They could have looked to trade him. I don't know that they did. It doesn't seem like they did.
It's worthy not only of mention, but of praise for a team that, now, I have a feeling that you or someone else might say, well, it would have been nice to see some of this before, but I'll take what I can get right now, and that's a team that, for everything that they did to get to that Game 7 of the Cup Final last year and lose it, some say they didn't have to do enough, that they had the two best teams in the East, or the two teams that would have given them the most problems, eliminated for them ahead of time. They had every excuse in the world, and we could have had every excuse in the world for this team right now to not be playing well this season, but instead they're playing much better than I would have anticipated, and I think much better than probably the rest of the league did based on what happened to them last year.
Doesn't that Game 7 still piss you off, though? It still does. It still should for some people. There's got to be some people. I know that every time I watch this team and I'm like, damn, they're better than they were, and they're way better than I expected them to be. Because when we talked about expectations at the start of the year, that other thing that you described going the other way is exactly what I expected to have happen with this team. I said, yep, easy path in the playoffs last year. They weren't as good as everyone seemed to think they were at the end. And then they proved it by losing Game 7 at home in their own building. And so now they come out and they're much better. And that just pisses me off because it shows you that they actually were a good team. And they should have won Game 7. They should have won that series. They should have been able to take advantage of the easy path. If they're playing like they're playing now, it's hard to get over that Game 7 loss.
It is.
It is.
It was a frustrating game. They didn't bring what... You and I were sitting there watching it. We were watching it together, right?
I'm telling you, 6 months later, though...
After the first period.
It's over.
We knew.
It's over.
It just knew. The energy had been sucked out of the building.
But 6 months later, watching this team play as well as it's playing now makes me more annoyed about Game 7. I didn't think that would ever happen. Like, 6 months after the fact, you watch this team and how well they're playing and you're mad about it? I do. I feel mad about that. I'm still angry about Game 7. I'm still angry about them losing that series. Because you know that I believed at the time, and why all of St. Louis hates me now, that they were the better team. That they did everything better than St. Louis. And that St. Louis was garbage. And here we are. And the Bruins have proven that. They're proving the gut instinct on that one right, that they should have won that series. They were the better team. They were the better team in that series. This is the same team. We know it for sure now. It's the same group. Now you know what they're capable of.
It's just a different type of team, Beatles. St. Louis isn't a bad team. They're not a garbage team. Look, there's only two teams in the entire league with more points than St. Louis right now. It's the Bruins and the Capitals. That's it.
I just hate the way they play.
I hate the way they play, too.
That's why I call them garbage. Not because they weren't good. They won it all.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't do that by accident. You don't. I don't mean that they're, a terrible team. I just hate the way they play. I feel like the Bruins' style of play should have been able to beat them.
Look, I agree. And we talked about it, during that series and a lot during Game 7. Say, well, watch out for this. If you can't get your hands on some top-tier scoring and some really, really skilled players that play together and gel together for a couple of lines and a good goaltender, here's another way to do it. Get an average goaltender and just build like hell in front of them. Just have outstanding defense and build a wall at the blue line and just play a neutral zone game, and the goals will come to you in the other end when you get lucky. Now, that oversimplifies what St. Louis does, but it's a different model for sure than what the Bruins and other teams do.
So I wonder about this team, if what I think has been sort of hinted at, that this season is really a result of them being motivated by that loss.
I would love it if that were the case.
Is that exactly what it is we're seeing? I mean, how do you prove that?
We should ask.
We will.
I don't know. Is it going to be Torey Krug?
I don't know. We don't know.
Here's what I would guess.
No one's told us.
Here's my prediction for whoever we end up asking this later today. Yes, we're here at Warrior, and one player on the ice. Is that Bergeron who's out there skating with the skills coach ahead of time? Might be Bergeron out there again. He was out there early yesterday before the team practice. My guess is going to say, no, we put that behind us, and we're just building, there's a lot of guys, obviously, who were here who went through that, but it's a new season. You just got to have a short memory and blah, 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 blah. But in the back of your mind, here you are with the same group of guys that made it all the way, just 60 minutes from raising that Stanley Cup. We got everybody back.
Yeah.
We got everybody back. Let's just go do it. Let's do everything just a little bit better this time around and see what happens.
I just wonder if it's somehow close to the thing that comes to mind for me is the Red Sox losing in 03 and then coming back and winning it in 04. They didn't get to this World Series in 2003. They got to the ALCS, and obviously it ended in a seventh game. And then they had sort of this thing where it was like a mandate. It was expected that they then had to get back there and win it all.
Yep.
And I don't think we did that with this team at the beginning of the season. But I'm wondering if they are internally doing it for themselves.
It's so much better that
way. This is all we have to do. That nothing else short of that will be acceptable this year. And so now that they're good, and we know they're good, and we know what they're capable of, and I was wrong about this team. I didn't think they'd be this good. Do we have to readjust, and do we have to put that on them from the outside?
Let me
and say, this team is just like last year's team until they win it all.
I would love for this team to make back-to-back.
Should we start doing that?
Back-to-back final appearances.
Championship or bust.
It would be awesome. And let me tell you something. You know what it reminds me of? To take you back to a different time in a different town.
Oh, yes. Here we go. Detroit.
22 years ago. And let me just... Here's why I bring it up. Now, already the story doesn't match up because you didn't win the first time around. But when the Red Wings finally broke, you know, the hockey town curse.
Yeah.
You know, and at that point, they had more championships than any U.S. city. So they were still hockey town, even though it had been decades since they had won the Stanley Cup. They won it in 97. And they did it for the fans, and they did it for the city, and they did it for everybody.
That's a real heartwarming story.
Would you shut up and listen to the rest of the story? The next year, they went back and won it again. And after they won it the second time, do you know what they said?
That we should make a movie about this.
You know what Iserman said? What
did he say?
I think it was Iserman.
Think.
I don't know. One of them said.
Somebody said this somewhere.
Last year, we did it for the fans. We did it for the city. We did it for every Red Wing everywhere. This year, we did it for us.
Oh, so good. You'd think Herb Brooks had said something like that.
So last year, they were doing it. I mean, it hadn't been a long drought. They had been to the final in 13, but they haven't won it since 11. Again, it's an obnoxious Boston sports fan narrative.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been, oh my God, how are we going to get through it? 6 whole years since we've been to a cup final. We haven't won one in 8.
Yes.
But,
yes.
All right, you got a bunch of teams winning a lot in this town, so it does seem like a while. So they make it back last year, they lose. Damn it, we're not going to let this happen again, and we're going to go out there in this one. We're going to do it. If they're just doing it for themselves, and they didn't never even look up into the stands for the rest of the season, great, I'm fine with that. Awesome.
We did that. We lost for the fans. We lost Game 7 at TD Garden.
No, they lost. Fans. They lost because they were trying to win it for the fans.
Now we're going
to
win it for ourselves.
Win it for yourselves.
Because we're a bunch of selfish bastards.
Let's not even. Whoever comes here today, let's not even ask him any questions. Let's give him that pep talk. You go out there and do it for you,
do it
Tori.
For you.
Come
do
on.
It for you.
Little fella.
617-779-0985. Is that what it needs to be now for the Bruins? They must win the Stanley Cup. 617-779-0985. We start talking a little hockey today.
Zolak and Bertrand. Middays. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
617-779-0985. The telephone number. Vinny's in Revere this morning. Hi, Vinny.
What's up, boys?
Hey, what's going on?
Real quick. No, not too much. Listen, so real quick, just first of all, Hottie, I got to agree with you. Just go back real quick to 2010 when the Bruins lost to Philly. When you win the next year, it does make it sweeter. So obviously to win the cup would be awesome after last year. But assuming, just play this game with me, if there's no injuries to the team, do you think the Bruins should go out and pick anybody up at the trade deadline and make a pickup? I mean, I'm very comfortable with the way the roster looks right now, but if you had to, would you go out and get somebody to make a cup push?
What's their need if they have one? If they have to make a move? Remember, you're going to give up something to get something.
Right. And they always see it. Look, I think they've done a pretty good job. Sweeney's done a pretty good job of finding some guys and finding pieces that add to it that you didn't even know you needed. So I wouldn't be surprised if they did it, but this is the problem you fall into with virtually every team that either wins or is playing at the level that the Bruins are at this point. You can't give up anybody, Beetle. Everybody's contributing. Everybody's contributing in their own way. You know, break up the chemistry of the lines and the defensive pairings, and how can you well, you can. I mean, hockey players, as much as anyone, can show up and start skating on a new line and figure things out, and they can do that. But to address the question, what is their need right now? I can't think of anything that I would necessarily want.
Well, I just don't know what I would give up off the roster if you got to make a move now.
Right, and that's the second part.
And I don't think that it might be wise to do it, considering the prices you pay in season. If you have a legitimate need, let's say. Is that Bergeron, by the way?
It is Bergeron who is out there. He's for a second straight day skating apart from the team. He's out there with one of the coaches just getting some work in.
So. Let's say that, you know, for the sake of conversation, that his injury was more serious than it appears to be. Well, then you're probably going to have a need.
Fair enough.
Right?
Fair enough.
And so I don't look at the team now and say, oh, go ahead and start making moves to make it better. You've proven to be a really good team to this point. And don't pay the prices in season if you don't have to. Because usually when you're buying, you pay more than what you would pay at any other time of the year.
Yep.
They're in a position of strength where they've been able to overcome the injuries that they've dealt with to this point. Right? They've lost key guys for periods of time. Krug, who we may or may not talk to today. Don't know. Bergeron's been hurt. Guys have been hurt, and it hasn't derailed them in any way.
Right.
So, sign of a good team. Another sign of a good team.
But it's also a team that has added guys in the past where, and again, this isn't a great...
Like the Peverleys or...
Yes. Peverley.
So it's pre-Sweeney, but I get what you're saying.
Right. The Cabernet, for crying out loud, who did nothing,
not
but, you know what? No, but it ended up resulting in a Stanley Cup win.
I wouldn't draw the line from they got Cabernet, then they won the Cup. I mean, both of those things are true. They did get Cabernet and they won the Cup, but I don't know that it's because they got Cabernet.
He didn't give them the help in the power play that they thought, did he?
Oh, he was that. I mean, do you remember the search for the puck moving defenseman? The PMD?
How
many years that went on?
Just the phrase puck moving defenseman, how many times we had to listen to it?
Do you know how many people would tell you, yeah, they got to get Cabernet? They got it. That'd be such a good fit. That went on for years. The Cabernet rumor felt like it went on for 2 years before they finally got him. And then they did, and he didn't pan out. No, but I know what you're saying. Chris Kelly, Rich Peverley, those depth moves that they've made.
Yeah, and nobody likes those guys, but they...
You do.
I love Chris Kelly.
You're a huge fan.
But no one's mourning the short stay of Tomas Cabernet or, you know, High Glass Peverley. So, I get it. There are moves, I'm sure, that will be made, but nothing that I can... Nothing that I'm willing to suggest, and certainly nothing, to your point, Beto, that I would suggest giving up in order to make that move.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a need for this team. Bruins take on the Blackhawks tonight, who absolutely stink now, by the way. They're not a good team. So, pencil this one in as a win, too. Or what should be a win.
It should be, yeah. And it's nice to see Chicago lose their stranglehold. In that conference, my God.
on all hockey.
I mean, but as a hockey fan, they were fun to watch for a few years. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't all that much fun in 2013, but in other years when it didn't directly affect you in such a negative way, that was a fun team to watch for quite a while.
617-779-0985. Talking about the Bruins' hot start as they get ready for another game tonight against the Blackhawks. They've had a number of comebacks. They've sustained injuries, hasn't derailed them, and they're off to an incredible start to the season. After losing in Game 7 against St. Louis.
T-Bone says now they have 7 puck-moving defensemen.
Yes. Well, that's the way the whole league is gone.
Yeah.
It's a little different now. The league is different.
Yeah.
Cabernet's skill set is more common now in the league than it was when he was, again, that big haul
with
the Bruins. What kept searching for.
What the hell do you need a stay-home defenseman for anymore? Everybody's moving out on the ice all the time. You don't have to have the... It's nice to have big bodies as long as they can move, as long as they can handle the puck. Everybody has to have more skill now than, I would say, toughness going back, say, as opposed to 7-8 years ago.
Which is why I sort of go back to my point on the St. Louis Blues, that they're garbage compared to the rest of the league.
But it works.
Because they got huge, old-school
players. It's working.
They don't have the skill or the quickness or any of that. It's that entire series still aggravates me. It aggravates me that they're playing well again this year. The whole thing pisses me off.
Yeah.
That whole team pisses me. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about those Blues.
They get under your skin, though, boy.
It really did. Really did. So I'm still mad about it. 6 months later, the Bruins play well. And I say that. I do it all the time. Like, oh, yeah, where was that Game 7? Where was that Game 7 against the Blues? Oh, Pastrnak. Off to a ridiculous start. Where were you at the end of the year last? Like, I do it all the time. I'm annoyed by myself. like, why can't I just enjoy that? I just can't get Game 7 out of my mind.
It's
how that thing ended.
And it just in such a whimper, you know?
Ah, terrible way to end.
Just went out with just a petering out firecracker that just never really popped at any point in any of those three periods.
Eric is in the car. Hi, Eric.
Hey, guys, I got to tell you, what they need this year is what they needed last year in the playoffs. They need a guy willing to go into the corner and get the puck, because as great as that first line was, Pastrnak just wasn't going in the corner and getting the puck. He was tapping it and running away. They got bullied. They got pushed around. I'm not saying they need a bunch of big guys, but they need somebody that will go in the corner, like the Pevely did. You know, those guys, they need gamers is what they need. They're still top heavy.
And I would argue with you that you would only need it if you're going to face St. Louis again. But I think you need it against the Capitals too.
You always need it in the playoffs. Other teams, other guys step up. Those second, third liners who really don't do a lot for you in points all year show up in the playoffs and mean something. And that's how you win.
All right, so Eric, if this team doesn't make a move and they stay currently, you know, the way they're currently constituted, you don't see them having a ton of success in the playoffs then.
It really depends on who they go up against. If they're up against guys with speed, then they can play with them. Because they are tougher than the average team. But if you're up against the same thing we did last year, it's gonna end the same way. They do need another guy to spread out the goal scoring and go in the corners.
More physicality.
Yeah.
That's what he wants.
Yeah.
More physicality from this team.
There are guys who will do it. Marchand will do it. Carlo will get down there and do it. He can handle himself, but... one more guy like that is not going to hurt you.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Talking to Bruins here to start the day. Here, I know we haven't done a lot of this. We haven't.
No, and it's a shame. I got a buddy in town tonight. We got, you know, a couple of things we could do, and he's like, I want to go see the best team in hockey. If, you know, we could possibly pull that off. I'm like, yeah, it kind of goes by the wayside. Look, it happens this time every year with the Patriots are playing. You got a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, if you've got a couple of teams playing well, and maybe in the case of the Patriots, maybe them drawing the attention away, but the Bruins aren't getting the attention they deserve so far this season. I think the Celtics are getting it because it's surprising everyone. But here the Bruins are coming off of a you know, the deepest of cup runs, that as deep as you can go without winning the damn thing. And they've come back and they're playing as well as they did last year and in some cases better. And I don't think they're getting the recognition for it. It's just going to recognize a little bit, Beetle.
No, here we are.
What's wrong with that?
We're nothing. Miles in Charlton. Hi, Miles.
Hi, how are you this morning, guys?
Good. What's up?
Great. I'm impressed by what the Bruins are doing. That's great. Pastrnak, 25 goals in however many games, that's great. Yeah. But how about some sort of answer? Where was he last year in the finals? That's when we needed the goals. I mean, how about an answer? I'd be more happy with I'd take 15 goals in this many games. Just an answer to last year, what happened in the playoff, or in the finals, rather.
Good. Hang on to that anger, Miles. You and I both. Good. Hang on to that.
If you want to get the entire top line in here and ask them, go ahead.
What happened last year in the playoffs?
Yes.
They won't answer. No. I'll ask them, though, if they want to sit them down. Guys, what happened? What happened in the playoffs? What happened in the finals?
They're going to point to Game 4 against the Hurricanes. And they were responsible, I think, for all four goals. I think it was a 4-0 win in game four.
That's great. That's great. The Hurricanes? You were playing the Blues in the Stanley Cup final. The Blues. St. Louis. What happened to St. Louis?
Yeah.
Blues.
Yeah.
What happened there? What happened in game seven? What happened that night? What happened? You did. I don't feel like you totally showed for that one.
Or got frustrated to the point, and we rarely get after coaching in the NHL because it is
beat him down.
It is such a, you know, it is such a, you know, in the moment type of thing. It's like, oh, you gotta finish on that one timer. You gotta pick up your man behind the net. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. But you had seven games and obviously you were good enough in three of them, but you had one last chance to figure out a way to solve that defensive riddle that the Blues posed to you and specifically your top line.
Which is why
and to be fair, mm-hmm. the coaches weren't able to figure it out either. Or they did, and they completely whiffed that, you know, that entire top line on being able to do anything in that one game particularly.
But what would be different if they met again right now? That's a question, too. If those two teams met in a seven-game series right now, who wins? Does anything change from how it went last time?
You know, for a guy who's supposed to be one half of, you know, like, praising this team, you're awfully negative.
Yeah, I am. That's my nature.
I don't care for it.
Let's go to headlines. Michael Bryant on the headlines today.
Nice.
Filling in for Hardy as Hardy fills in for Zoe. LeBron James had a travel last night that just is one for the ages. You say, what? A travel? No, he traveled with the basketball. He walked. And it didn't get called. And it's blowing up the internet today, and we must talk about this. We'll do that coming up, continuing with your Bruins calls as well as we broadcast from Warrior today. Here are the headlines.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Inside, Tony blocked by Kuzma, got it back. Big fella turns, and a crowd continues to fight, blocked again.
Look at LeBron, he's on the court.
With no shoes, mind you.
What is going on here?
That's some disrespect right there. Please.
Look at LeBron onto the court. No shoes on.
Yeah, he'd given his shoes away to a fan.
No shoes, no shirt, and no problem. Blues, what blues? Hey, I forgot them. The sun.
With horrible country music rejoins.
Brutal. Two consecutive days, Jim. It's uncalled for. That's LeBron last night against Utah. Can I ask a question before we get to this story, which I love? This is a great story. I've watched this clip no less than 25 times, 30 times already this morning. Can't get enough of it. LeBron walks in the game, coming across half court. He goes to set the offense, and he just takes a walk with the basketball in his hand. It's unreal. And the refs don't call it. And it's a bad look for the NBA. But first, what's up with all the jerseys and color changes in the NBA?
I don't know.
What was Utah wearing last night?
I don't know, but I don't like it.
And have they been wearing that all year? Is that new?
Do you know how many times I had to watch that clip before I figured out who was who? Because the first version that I saw is looking at it on my phone. I'm like, wait a second, where's LeBron? Who are the Lakers? Who are the I don't know who's who. Can't even tell. But the travel, if you haven't seen it, is it's like he loses his mind for a second. He just forgets what he's doing, except the travel is so egregious and so just la-di-da. You don't even see guys doing this in practice. You don't see guys doing it in a pickup game. If the whistle blows, guys don't carry the ball like this. They still keep dribbling. It's just kind of like conditioned in basketball players at this point. LeBron picks up the ball and walks with it for two steps. He's just walking on the court with it. And of course, there's not a call. Now, Danny Ainge tried to explain this away earlier with Toucher and Rich, and I thought he did a pretty good job. He said, you can see the referees on the court, one of them's looking down low, one of them's looking for some other movement off the ball, one of them just isn't looking. But it's not even something that affected the play. It's just the arrogance of this guy who's like, you know what, I'm just going to hold on to the ball and walk around with it a little bit because I'm LeBron James. And I'm really above all this. All this nonsensical dribbling when it really doesn't impact the play. That's the attitude that he seems to portray when he picks up that ball and starts walking around with it. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that. It's unbelievable. But the fact that it wasn't called doesn't surprise me based on Danny's explanation and the fact that, yes, of course, it's LeBron.
Do you know what Danny's explanation makes me think? That LeBron did it on purpose. That LeBron actually, I just refuse to believe that LeBron James, who has been dribbling a basketball since basically birth. I mean, the guy's unbelievable, right?
Yeah, there's
greatest player in the world. He, forgot? Like, he had a mental lapse where he forgot to dribble the ball?
Unless he had some kind of an episode.
Like, it's so built in for someone like that, who's been playing the game at such a high level for so long. His whole life has been about this sport. It makes me think that he did it to make the refs look bad because he knew that they wouldn't be looking. That they knew you know, he knew they'd be having their eyes set somewhere else at that moment where he was able to do it, because he just knows the game inside and out. And there's obviously this James Harden thing going on where he dunked a basketball and it was ruled not a basket a couple of days ago.
Right.
It was a horribly blown call. And part of me thinks, like, LeBron did it just to screw around with the refs and just prove a point. Like, hey, bozos, watch this.
Because they were up.
Yep. And it was in a game where it wasn't. Even if they, you know, oh, they bag him? Oh, I walked. Oh, okay. But he knew they wouldn't. And it didn't have anything to do with showing off or being a jerk. It was him trying to prove a point about the officials.
Okay, well, he was asked about it in the post game. So what?
He's not going to tell you the truth.
Well, let's see what he said. Let's hear what he said.
Okay.
Probably one of the worst things I've ever done in my career. I didn't even realize I did it until halftime, to be honest. One of my coaches showed me. I didn't even realize I did it. I think at the same time, I was watching the underneath play, and KCP and Donovan got into it. KCP started to run, and then Donovan bumped into him. He fell on the ground, and I think I was ready to pass the ball. And my brain just kind of just, I just had a malfunction. I really had a malfunction. So, you know, I felt bad for the refs on that one because, you know, they probably get a write-up on that one. That was pretty bad.
The worst, so he declares it the worst travel in my career. And, oh, by the way, they didn't catch it. I feel bad for the refs. They're going to get written up on that one. I'm like, what?
Well, you saw him in the clip, too, at least the clip that I watched. It cuts to him talking to the other players afterward at some point later on in the game, and he's like, I didn't even know I did it. It's one of the worst thing I've ever done. So presumably he's talking to somebody from the Utah side, but it's, I mean, the whole crowd loses their mind. What did he think the crowd was screaming about when he picked up the ball and
right.
started walking?
So like those four guys in the front row, did you see the four guys who immediately jump up and they're like, what are you doing? He didn't see that. He didn't notice that out of the corner of his eyes, that four guys that are sitting on the side of the court in those very rich guy seats down there right on the court, those awesome seats. Like, those guys were pissed. Like, what is this? How do you miss that?
But Beetle, the clip that Jim played when we were coming back,
the crowd screams. There's no mental like note there, like, oh, what did I just do?
No, it was the clip and which led to the horrible no shirt no shoes song that he played.
Yeah, that's something different.
That's something different. That's toward the end of the game when he's out of the game and he's on the court celebrating a couple of defensive plays by his team. And his shoes are off, and he is, when I say on the court, I don't just mean like 1 foot on the sideline and like, you know, going a little bit past the bench area. He's down on the baseline side of the court, walking onto the court while the ball is in play, rooting on his team. Forget about like the disrespect thing. It's once again just the arrogance of this guy. Yeah, Jack, you just do whatever. I can do whatever I want at this point. That's how he approaches the game. That's what he shows when he does
it. I didn't think
that.
It was a big deal.
Oh, I hated that. Oh, God, I hate that.
We'll talk about that coming up. We'll talk more about that with your calls, 617-779-0985. Also, the NBA keeps kicking around this idea of a midseason tournament. Be going on, I don't know, sometime around now. We'll talk about that as well. If you're for or against, I got a feeling that Hardy's very much against it.
What's the point?
There we go. We'll get to that next.
Zilek and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Don't you like basketball tournaments, Hardy?
I like.
Don't we all love a tournament?
I like the only tournament that matters.
The NCAA tournament?
That's the one.
The NBA is proposing a mid-season tournament. Mid-season. I don't know why. I don't know why they're doing that. But they seem to really want to mix it up, Hardy. They really want to do something special. It's not going to work.
Okay.
I don't know what what pride anybody's going to have in winning the mid-season tournament.
No, no. And that's why I say the reason why the NCAA tournament, and I don't mean the NIT, and I don't mean it, I mean the tournament, is so meaningful is because it's one and done, which I love.
Yes.
And that's
the champion that's all is there decided is. By it.
There's no ambiguity. Everyone's get a shot. You might bitch about the seeding or this, that, and the other, but at the end, there's one team, and then the season's over, and then you're all done. A mid-season tournament for the NBA? For what?
This is what I think they don't understand. Would it be fun and interesting? Yeah, maybe for like 5 minutes. But you're trying to make people care about something that they're not going to care about. It's just, who cares? So what do you get if you win the mid-season tournament that they're proposing?
Well, what has been floated out there are a couple of different options, and maybe you end up with an extra draft pick, or maybe you end up with some kind of automatic playoff placement. But the fact is, with draft picks at a premium in the NBA and so meaningful, I can't imagine the teams agreeing to that. And I can't imagine the teams agreeing to even the automatic placement into the playoffs. Like, what did we play in the regular season then for? You're already making a mockery of the regular season. You're saying these games really don't matter. So what we're going to do is put on a tournament here in the middle of the season to actually get some interest going, because we know, Hardy, you, like the rest of the country, really don't pay attention to the NBA until about Christmas Day.
I've got a tournament for them if they want one.
What is it?
You take the bottom 10 lottery teams at the end of the year. You put them in a tournament.
Okay, I like it so far.
And the winner gets the number one pick.
Oh.
The runner-up gets the number two pick. So if you want to prevent tanking in your league,
yes,
put that tournament together.
That's a single, fun tournament.
Single game elimination, just like the NCAA tournament, one and done. You put that, maybe not 10 teams, that's too many. Eight would make sense for obvious reasons. The numbers work. So you go from eight teams that can all play on the same night,
right,
or same day, or let's say a Thursday, Friday, whatever you're going to do, okay? And then by Saturday, you've got the Final Four, and then you've got the championship on Monday night. You could do that tournament in a weekend,
right,
in like 4 or 5 days' time at a neutral site. You figure out where you're going to hold it, New York, whatever. You take the eight teams, and you say, guess what? At the end of the season, you have to have a team that's still good enough to compete in games, because you can't just pare down your roster and be total garbage in this league. Because if you want the number one pick, you've got to be in the lottery and then still be good enough to win at the end of the year.
And you also have a team that comes out at the end of that that shows something to the prospective top draft pick, saying like, oh, maybe this place isn't total garbage,
yes,
and I'll actually want to go there and play.
Yes, look, oh, they competed. They were able to win the number one pick.
Because how many times have we seen that? The number one pick is like, oh, my God, I got to go play where?
I got to go to Charlotte.
Oh.
I got to go to the Pelicans.
I got
to
go. Well, yeah.
What am I doing?
Although, yeah, we could have a whole
site. Cleveland won it again for the 14th time this decade.
But if you show them something, they're like, okay, that maybe this won't be so bad after all. But the mid-season tournament? For what? What are we doing? All you're doing is admitting that the season is too long and you need something to spark interest. Now, there's no way. There's absolutely zero chance of basketball or baseball or even hockey is shortening their season. That's not going to happen. Owners aren't going to give up any gates for any home games that they would have to give up in shortening the season. But that's the problem. 82 games is too many.
Tell you what I appreciate, though. I at least appreciate that they're thinking outside of the box and they're at least discussing ideas like this, as wild and as bad as we think they are. I wish more leagues would do that. I wish baseball would do this. I wish baseball would sit down and say, let's all brainstorm and come up with the craziest ideas. And maybe they suck. Maybe they're bad ideas.
Right, but ideas in brainstorming, right? Like, just shoot it around the room.
You know, who knows if this even comes to fruition with the NBA? It feels like it's out there enough that it could be real. Who knows? We'll find out. But I wish baseball would do what the NBA does, which is sit down and come up with a bunch of crazy ideas that on the surface seem crazy.
But the problem,
but maybe you think about it and say, you know what, maybe there's something here. Maybe we're just not thinking about it in the right way.
And they don't do anything to address the mind-numbing length of the regular season, but at least baseball will bounce around some ideas about starting extra innings with a runner on second or a pitch clock. The problem is they don't implement
them. They just don't do it.
Yeah, they do. And even if everybody seems to be on board, yes, pitch clock, let's move these games along. Yes, runner on second to start extra innings. Let's end this thing. They don't end up doing it.
Is basketball growing in popularity or declining? It's growing. And they're still coming up with these ideas. Meanwhile, baseball is dying on the vine.
Maybe they should. Maybe.
And they just seem so resistant to change and ideas.
Well, the midseason tournament is probably going to happen as long as China is on board. And if they give it their okay, they give it their stamp of approval, then you're going to be.
Well, they should ask LeBron. He's a big pro-China guy.
Yes.
Speaking of LeBron. I didn't think that him celebrating the block was that big of a deal.
Oh, he's such a jackass.
Well, I just don't think it's any different from anything else you see in this league. He just happened to have his shoes off.
No, he is on the baseline. Look at it. He is coming out onto the court.
I think other players have done things like that.
He is a full 5-6 feet
he's almost
onto
at the
court.
I feel like he's almost at the basket. Like, he's approaching.
While the play is going on.
I feel like he's in the lane by the end of that clip. Like, he's celebrating the block. What's wrong with that? He's celebrating his teammate's block. I know it's a 20-point game. It's a blowout at that point in time. But, like, he's celebrating a teammate doing something good.
Because he's doing it while the play is still going on.
Plays down the other end of the court.
Look. No, it's happening right there. It's happening right in front of him. It's not on the other end of the court. It's right there. It was in their end.
Then the play was going the other way.
Okay.
Did he interfere with the play? Okay, let's do this.
No.
You're right. It shouldn't happen.
Only because the ball didn't go over in his direction.
It shouldn't happen.
Right.
That shouldn't be happening in the league.
No. So
you're right.
You know what?
But
every player should be able to come out of the court.
Do you think it makes him a dick? Like, I don't think it does.
Yes. Yes. Look, he can do whatever he wants. He treats himself and feels he should be treated differently.
Well, I think that's true, but I don't think that's what's motivating him to celebrate that play. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that's the genesis of that happening. Like, I'm a jerk. I can do whatever it is I want to do, and I'm going to show off. I don't think that's what it is. I think it's just a natural reaction to a good play.
No, I think that's where he's gotten himself in his own mind.
That I'm going to do things that piss people off that I'm going to do.
He's just lost touch. He's lost touch with whether it's the traveling or whether it's just being on the court in your socks, 6 feet onto the court while the play is still going on. He operates with zero regard for anybody around him.
And he can
say after the game that, oh, it's the worst thing I ever done, and I can't believe it. You knew exactly what you were doing. Don't make us think. Don't treat us as being stupid by saying that you're stupid. We know you're dumb, but you're not that dumb.
Don't tell me that you didn't travel and you had no idea it happened. That's nonsense.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That's why I find that whole entire story completely unbelievable. He knew it. In fact, I think he may have done it on purpose to show up the refs.
That's even better to show the league how bad the
officiating can be.
That's even better.
Could all stem from the James Harden play. Shaughnessy's here. He's out there in the hallway sucking up any last warmth that he can before making his way into the arena.
I'm going to join him during O'Brien's headlines.
All right, we'll do headlines and we'll be right back. No commercials. Shaughnessy is on the way.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.